Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the live stream of The Aftermath. Veronica's joining me this time for the first time on Aftermath. It's a bit of a strange world that we woke up in today, ladies and gentlemen. The whole MMA world is turned upside down. I'll be honest, I mean, we didn't stay up for it because it didn't start until midnight. And, you know, I'm an old man these days. I've got to make sure I'm getting my beauty sleep. Otherwise, it will just waste away in front of our very eyes. We watched it this morning, didn't we?
Yeah, we
during
did.
During our coffee. I'll be honest. I mean, not only was it an awesome event, but like, I think the main event might be my favourite fight of the year so far. I know we'll get into it in a bit, and I'll save it for when the audience has gathered a little bit, because that's what they're ultimately tuning in for. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it was like confusing and frustrating and then refreshing and enlightening all at the same time. And I've gone from being like critical and kind of, I mean, unsure how I feel about him, honestly, just generally like Sean Strickland's existence, to like being like, I was looking for my USA shirt and for my Stars and Stripes onesie, but I don't know where the onesie is, and it's way too hot to be wearing.
Yeah, it's
that.
Very hot.
And the Stars and Stripes t-shirt unfortunately fit me 10 years ago, but not anymore.
He does have, I do have picture evidence of him having an American onesie. Yeah. We just started dating and he wore it, and I was
Where was that?
At home,
anyway,
here.
I'll find it. I'll break it out ready for the championships in DC. It makes sense for me to wear it, you know, at the side of the smart cage at the championships.
Mm.
Before we get into the UFC, which was an awesome card, Glory was good.
Glory was very good.
Oh,
sorry. I was just pulling up the live. So if you guys have questions or something, that's really why he brought me over. It wasn't for anything else.
Well, because I can't read very well.
For the sake of martial arts was a quote.
It was.
Okay, there we go. Here it I was. See. Let me just see how I can open it.
Yeah, no, hang on. We can't get into questions about the main event yet because we've only just started the live stream. We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get to those. Like, I want to ease into the live stream. Welcome to Rum Sundays, by the way. The live stream is brought to you by Outlaw Rum, our friends at Outlaw Rum. I'll be getting into this once I've finished my tea. Our friends at Harney & Sons, make sure you go and check them out, harney.com. Code is Full Reptile. Is that right? You get 15% off. It's wonderful stuff. I mean, I am literally drinking, what, 5 cups of this a day? The hot cinnamon spice?
Yeah.
It's like,
at least.
Well, it's like, because I'm craving sweet things, and this is initially very sweet, and then the sweetness goes away. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing anything too bad. I'm not eating a cookie in one shot. Honestly, I was absolutely... Why are you wearing glasses? Because these lights give me a headache. We're going to London this week sometime, and we're going to get some blue light glasses, and I'm going to wear them. Because, yeah, we spend too much time under these lights, and they are very, very bright. Are they not?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't look that way too much because it's like...
Well, you can wear my...
When you fight, too, it is so bright.
It is so bright.
It is so bright. It feels
ones?
Like...
I have the purple ones.
No, you said we can't both wear it because
no, we
can. Then
we
I...
can. It's Rum Sundays. It doesn't matter. There are okay. No rules. Sean Strickland's the champion. There are no rules in the world anymore. We are in the twilight zone.
Too.
Do you like my On It t-shirt? Like, these guys are great on it. It's a very kind of unusual t-shirt.
Yeah, don't you want like the kettlebell that has the Star Wars thing?
It's a kettlebell that's got, it's the Alex Gray. I know what you're talking about. They've got like the Star Wars kettlebells. I would imagine you get big bruises on your arm from them though.
I already get bruises from
I want the mace with the Alex Gray four-sided face on it. We're going off on mad tangents.
Yes.
Here. You're welcome for the live stream. I have the thing pulled up here as well. First of all, before we get into anything UFC, congratulations to Tiffany Van Soest on an amazing career. She retired last night. It was her last fight. She won by head kick dead. It was beautiful. Snap head kick, bang, right up there. She wasn't wearing
fake
her
jab as well.
It was, yeah, very slick. She's. I wonder what she's going to get into next, but whatever it is, she's going to be very good at it because she's just that kind of person. I was a bit disappointed that she wasn't wearing her disco ball helmet, though.
You wanted to wear that like during the fight?
No, but putting it on straight after for the post-fight interview, I was a bit disappointed. She was wearing a Khabib hat at the press conference, did you see?
Oh, yeah.
And a white suit that looked like it had been attacked by Jackson Pollock.
Well, if you check her Instagram, she has this art thing that she creates from
Like, does she, oh yeah, has like she not painted it herself? Yeah, yeah, she's a very very creative individual. Anyway, congratulations on a fantastic career, Tiffany Van Soest, and a great head kick dead knockout. There was another head kick dead knockout as well on that.
Yes, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But it was a wicked. it was a wicked. Yeah. It was a good card. We enjoyed it. And we haven't caught up with Quintet yet, but there was a Quintet as well this weekend.
Because we were confused about when it started. Because you told me it was later on today, and then I opened Instagram, and I hate Instagram the day after an event.
I can never get the time difference between here and Japan though. Like, I remember traveling to Japan to fly and it was 12 hours, but when I arrived, it felt like they were like 4 years ahead. So like, I don't know, like Quintet might have happened 4 years ago as far as I know, and we're just getting hearing about it today. But they had some awesome shirts. The B team won, didn't they?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, too late.
This is kind of a spoiler alert show.
That's the whole point of it. Yeah, yeah. Remember how you made fun of Sean's fighting style?
I did. He hasn't stopped.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to stop.
Like,
he's quickly overnight become one of my favorite fighters that's on the roster currently. It's not because I love watching him fight because of his style though. It's because of how he fights and his attitude. Like the post-fight press conference was brilliant. It was just anarchy from start to finish. And I can't help but watch it.
It was pretty funny.
It was
pretty funny.
He drifted between sort of like Matthew McConaughey and the dude. And like there were loads of different characters mixed in there, but he is just mad. And it was fascinating to watch the fight. I mean, should we get into it now? Well, let's have a look at the rest of the card, first of all, because it was a good card. There were some good finishes. Really nice Ezekiel choke from Volkov.
Yes, that was really cool.
Which is very unusual.
I saw that from what is that also kind of fat Russian guy that did it from the
Olenek.
Bottom?
Yeah, Olenek. Olenek's got like four of them. Yeah. Do you think it's a heavyweight submission? Well, let us know. If you know anybody in the comments that's landed an Ezekiel choke that's not a heavyweight. Because it's such an odd submission without a gi.
Yes, but also if you're a heavyweight, you're also, I would imagine, kind of more tired.
More.
So, and this has happened to me where I've been like exhausted and I've rolled with somebody, more female because of their body attributes and how they're able on mount to apply pressure. Because of body attributes. And then when you're
sometimes
trying to breathe. It like goes in like the wet rash guard.
That is the worst.
That is horrible.
Like wet t-shirt. It's like being waterboarded. It's not.
I imagine
nice.
That's must feel the same when you're a heavyweight and this happens to you.
Yeah.
It's just such a
unique submission that seems to only happen at heavyweight. And I understand what you're saying. But I also do think it's like the go-go choke that Ben Rothwell used to get. I always used to wonder if someone that was built like Volkov could get that choke because of the way that Ben Rothwell was shaped. Mm-hmm. I always felt like physiologically he was able to kind of, I mean, I could probably get away with doing it right now, to be honest.
Like Pelium.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. Straight away. Bang. Dig. No,
you said Ben Rothwell. The first thing I think body-wise is a belly.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder whether like physiologically it's something that's more suited. But Volkov's like, I mean, he's big and he's huge. He's huge.
Very, like,
I don't know,
tall
like, what do you
long.
Do with what Taito Iwasa looks like? He needs to take some time off. He really does. He looks like, I mean, what's that? Three losses, three stoppages in a row. Is it three stoppages?
It's not really.
Three ass
kickings. It's not just that they were three losses.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can have losses that are like split decisions or you got caught really quick with a submission. So it's not a bunch of damage. But he's taken a lot of damage in these last three fights.
Yeah.
And heavyweight damage.
Yeah. That's the thing where his toughness kind of works against him. Because, like, there are some shots that he took against Derek Lewis that would have put most human beings and most large mammals unconscious.
Yes.
But because Taito Iwasa is so tough, he's able to just bang, bang, just take him and still get back to his feet. It's crazy. Oh, hang on. The live stream's paused out on mine, Jamie. Is that my bad internet connection? Oh, I'm still connected to the one in the other room. That's why. What? So,
hasn't started. Guys, we're going to get into Dan having a whole rant about the main event. We just have to
I'm not
going to
rant about it. I'm
we're going to have to wait
to
everybody else, like all our other buddies. We got to get a large audience so we could listen to
I'm
Dan.
I'm Team Strickland.
You can't just hop on another bandwagon.
I can do what I like. I am Team Strickland all the way. Look, I'm not going to recommend fighters watch him to learn something from his style necessarily, because I still do think his style is untidy, and I still think there are lots of holes in it that Izzy should have capitalized on. Like I was trying to think of what makes sense, like how this can make better sense. Like, just because it's working, it doesn't mean it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like, something that's working can still have issues with it. It can still be made better, right? Like, there are definitely lots of things about Sean's style that can be improved on. There's no doubt about it. But the thing is, what he's found, which I think is really interesting, because, like, remember on the podcast, I said, like, 10 times out of 10, Izzy should win. But he might not.
Yes.
Right? This is the might not. This is the...
Told you about 10 books.
this is the perfect storm, right? Because, I've thought about it a lot today, and I think there are a lot of reasons why... I think there are a lot of reasons why we're here in this alternate parallel universe where Sean Strickland is the best middleweight on the planet. Because...
Beat Izzy in a striking match.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's mind-blowing, isn't it? But pressure is a thing. Intention is a thing. Confidence in range being present is a thing. Right? Because what it seemed like to me, as yeah, I said 100 out of 100, I still feel like if they fought 10 times, Izzy would probably win 8 of them. Just like Sean O'Malley won the belt the other week, and I picked him to win. But I still think 8 times out of 10, Aljamain Sterling beats him.
Yeah.
Right? Like the intention, intensity. Like, there's so many things that Sean Strickland just has disregarded about his game, about MMA. Like, he even said himself he was going to grapple. The plan was to grapple, and he didn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, there might be more to his game, but what I like about him is that he's just there in the moment, very present. Yeah, someone's just put it in the comments. I still don't like his cocksucker guard. You know, there was a post that Everlast put up on their Instagram the other day, and it was this girl that looked like she'd never done a boxing session in her life. And I'm like, oh, no, maybe she's like a boxing expert and I just have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of people, though, there was a lot of comparisons of Floyd Mayweather and Sean Strickland, and like likening it to them. But they're cutting him off at the waist and they're not showing the lower part of the body.
Yeah,
and the difference,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Just because somebody does this a bit doesn't mean they're Floyd Mayweather. That's just a little... I've never seen Floyd Mayweather block like this either.
Don't you talk bad about Sean Strickland.
I'm not talking bad.
I won't
bad,
have it.
But
I won't have it on the live stream.
But let's not get a picture and be like, oh, this is it. That's like you do this, right? And you put next to Marcelo Garcia and you put Marcelo Garcia. Look, because he had this guard.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit...
but it's like the principles of the style are different. Like, you don't like there are some things that Strickland does that are really interesting. One thing I will say is his defense did look tighter. He did look like he was reaching less. He looked like he was aware that was something he'd been caught with before, you know, with Pereira.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he did learn something from that fight, and more credit to him. But I just found the whole thing fascinating. And the more I watched the fight, the more I was excited about, like he's going to do it.
I know.
Holy shit, he's going to do it.
I know.
Right?
Even the commentators, like TC at this point, was like, what is going on?
It was like something...
Like scared to say that Strickland is winning.
it's crazy. But the thing is, like, okay, I mean, like... Real talk, perfect storm. I do feel like Izzy's technically the better fighter. And I feel like even Sean Strickland knows that, like, if they ran it back a few times, that he's going to get an ass kicking a few times, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Izzy didn't look himself. He looked flat. He looked tired. He looked unresponsive when he was under pressure. I just don't... And the thing is as well, like, you look at the roller coaster he's been on and the pressure, the ups and downs of, you know, losing the belt to Pereira and then coming back and getting the rematch and beating him. And, like, the intention that must have gone into that was just... it must have been exhausting. And then also for him to come mentally. Out of that and just, yeah, exactly. Like mentally exhausted. Like for him to come out of that and then roll straight into a fight against Strickland. It's, I mean, fair play to him, but I think he needs a bit of time off now. If we're going to see any more of this peak that he might be on right now, I think he needs to take a bit of time off. But, I mean, it's just madness, isn't it?
I couldn't believe it. It's just
madness. It was just, and the thing is, I watched it, and I've watched it probably three times today, and I did see Izzy do better the second time I watched it, but I still felt like Strickland was just, he just dominated, did he? It was madness.
I don't get the comments coming through. Like, do they think that you woke up and you just started crying in a corner because of this? Like, you had to cope?
Oh, I think people do.
None of it actually affects our lives. So...
It is fucking warm in here.
It is very warm. Jesus. I feel myself. I'm sweating right now.
Might have to open this door in a minute, Jamie. Might have to crack the garden room door open. It's a fascinating thing. We're on the Outlaw Rum. This is the standard. Because I've got a couple of samples that Jim sent me. I'm gonna try one of these samples. Oh, sherry cask. Why not? Let's have a go.
After I saw this. This was supposed to be you doing aftermath and me coming in to, you know, help out with the questions. But all the questions are just saying Cope Dan and now Cope Veronica.
So there are no questions. It's all right.
Until you guys come up with questions, then I could just, you know.
I'm opening
this
door.
This just put, okay, maybe I do need to cope, but... What are you doing?
It's too hot in here. I'm too hot. Although I haven't shown anybody my Mandalorian helmet yet. Shall I do that right now?
No. Why are you cutting me off?
All right. Sorry.
To put on a helmet after you're sweating.
It's just warm in here, isn't it? It's just warm in here.
You sweating.
I've been sweating since we ran earlier today.
Okay. Now Duplessis. I feel like if Duplessis would have fought Israel last night or whatever this morning... He would have beat Izzy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was not saying that 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. Now I'm so confused about the middleweight division.
It blows the division wide open. You know what I mean? Because you've got so many people on the rise that are going to be, they're going to feel like, because that's the trap with Strickland, isn't it?
Mm.
Like that's the trap with Strickland, right? Like if the UFC called me right now and they're like Izzy's the champ, do you want to fight for the belt? I'd be like, yeah, but I'm, you know, in the back of my head I'm like, okay, let's be realistic here. Just like I was against GSP, like what are my odds I'm most likely going to get my ass kicked, right?
Yeah.
I would feel like if I got the call and they were like, okay, Strickland's middleweight champ, do you want to fight him? I'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, my first thought would be...
That's what GSP said to Bisping.
But that's the thing. Like, this is where GSP comes back out of retirement.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, I'm looking, I'm thinking, you know what? I feel like I could catch him, because he looks so hittable. He looks so vulnerable. But then, like, it's the same with Jimmy, though, isn't it? When you spar him with him, you feel like you're drowning. Mm. Like he's always on your front foot. Mads Burnell's very similar, and he has like a Philly shell style. Like we were watching Frazier the other day, and he has that like low roll where he gets into the pocket. It's interesting to see what MMA, like how MMA is adapting in front of us, because for me, like Izzy is a supreme martial artist compared to Strickland when it comes to striking.
Yeah,
but if he doesn't have the space to work, if he's not able to manage the pressure. And he wasn't able to do anything to discourage Sean moving forward.
So one of the questions, I think it was from Mr. Coffee or something like that. It was, you know, a little bit too much. Others just came on. But why wasn't it? The question was, it seemed like he wasn't able to land his jab. Why do you think that was?
Izzy?
Yes, Izzy wasn't able to land his jab. Why do you think that
because
was?
Because I don't think he was certain what Strickland was doing. I don't think he was certain what Strickland's plan was. Like he was marching forward into shin blocks, and he was like twitchy with his lead hand. But he's, I don't know. I mean, I just don't feel like the thing is with Izzy. He doesn't have that real kind of cracking power like Pereira, where you can hit somebody with one shot and hurt them and slow them down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you almost need to, like, that's why his fainting game is so useful, because he's able to kind of hold people off a little bit with it. But he wasn't able to hold Strickland off. He had complete disregard for anything coming forward.
Yeah, because if you see in just within the cage, when Sean Strickland was fighting Pereira, and when that knockdown happened, Pereira was kind of Strickland was in the middle, and it was like Pereira kind of, you know, like hunting him down around, and he looked a little bit more hesitant, more scared of his power. And I don't know if it was all the talk about you paint your nails, so I'm not going to give you any respect, or that Pereira is just a scary looking dude. I don't know what it was, but as soon as the fight started, there was a definite difference between the respect given from the first round. It wasn't like something landed and then this happened. It was from the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. We've got a...
Ralphish 4.
Ralphish?
Yes.
Go on then. What's the question?
Thoughts on Sean's reaction time. Blocking... This is... Can you guys stop putting questions when I read this? Blocking or dodging almost all Izzy strikes. Is that teachable? Seems to start blocking as soon as you throw.
Yeah, it's... I don't think it is teachable. I think to an extent it is. And I think what you could do is you could take what Sean's doing and you could teach him a better way of doing it. Like, I do think... Like, the thing is, I loved the post-fight press conference. I thought it was complete chaos. But the one thing he did say is that he can hang with... professional boxers. And like, I mean, I don't know who's in the weight classes around where Strickland is, but they would look at his game and they would find holes through his game, even with the kind of pressure that he's able to put them under. You know what I mean? Maybe perhaps different in MMA gloves, but still, there are things about his game that could be tweaked and improved. But because he's spent so many hours and hours sparring, he's refined this game where he knows, like, probability where he can block to keep himself safe. Like, I find this one quite an interesting one, because he like leans back and it covers the majority of his head from anything that's coming in that direction. He does leave his body open, but it's like I'm watching him. I'm like trying to think like what bits could you take from this? Like, I feel like that. I don't know. I mean, it's chaos, isn't it?
You know what it
shows you what conditioning and pressure can do.
Those kind of games like Ninja Warrior and stuff, where you have this big cushion thing and something's coming at you and you have to just pop it out of the way and keep going.
here's a good one. Sean has more room for striking improvement with like 4 question marks saying thinking that's some kind of unreasonable thing. Just because someone's the champion, it doesn't mean they're perfect. Like, you've got to realize that there are things that Izzy does wrong. There are things that everyone does wrong, every champion. Like, what's fascinating about Sean Strickland is that he does some things very well, and he's been able to get to the world title and beat Israel Adesanya with those things.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
That is fascinating, but also... If you think about his style and something that he said in the post-fight press conference, his style has been revolved around a lot of sparring all the time. The thing with sparring all the time is that you're going to take some shots. So he's at the end of the fight, he's like, yeah, I was able to do this, but I've lost a lot of brain cells to this.
Yeah.
So just because he got there and he won that doesn't mean that's probably the way you should approach it. If you're watching, right, if you're getting into MMA and you look at Sean Strickland and you think, oh, I just have to spar until I have no brain cells left because he's the champion. It's a bad representation.
Yeah.
On, I don't know.
But what can we learn from what he's doing? What can we learn from the style that he has? Because so something I said before the fight was about his footwork and about the fact that he doesn't really kind of like there's not a great deal of decision making in his footwork. His footwork is to pressure and push forward, move into the space that you're in. That was based on what he did against Pereira and against Abbas, but in the fight with Adesanya, there were a couple of times where he consciously moved himself around to the left to keep pressuring Adesanya towards his right hand. And I don't know whether that was a preference to shut Adesanya's strongest parts of his game down, but it seemed to work because Adesanya was constantly moving in that direction all night. And at the points where he started to get fatigued and started to get tangled up, Sean was stepping across him and trapping him. It was a really, really clever. Really, really clever.
Did you think he was going to have him out of there in the first round?
No, I don't think so. Even when he landed that shot, the timing of it was perfect. And what you saw is if you look at the, I can't remember the first guy's name that fought. There was the guy that called out Ian Garry. Can't remember what his name is. Hang on a minute, let me pull it up. That's him, Juice. He was from City Kickboxing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And so is Eyebrow Advantage, Ullberg. And he does, they both were doing that drift away hook, that
yeah,
kind of pivot
hook. Yeah, he did the same.
Yeah,
when he got caught, he was doing the shoulder popping hook. Mm-hmm. And it was in the shoulder popping hook, he just came straight in. Zero, it didn't give, I think because he was so committed, didn't give the space or the respect for that to work, where he usually leans back and gets it because somebody else would stay in that range. But he went straight through the range and with a straight punch just threw it. And I don't know if it was that he timed it, which I'm sure he did because I could tell that he was really looking at the fight. There was this point where Izzy went this way and he was kind of like a dog chasing a squirrel. He went like just straight. And started to walk towards Izzy. So there's a lot of things that he saw based on so many rounds of sparring.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And it's beneficial. And for example, I feel the difference massively when I'm training and I don't do sparring for a while. And I start, like the first sparring back is horrendous. It's horrendous. You're getting clipped left and right by things that you're just like, well, I look so good on the pads or I look so good doing this or that. And this sparring, it doesn't even make sense what my training is in comparison to this.
That's the benefit of timing though, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's the benefit. It's like journeyman boxers. You know what I mean? They spent so many hours like sparring and fighting and doing rounds against different types of people. They've got this craft. God, I bet he's a pain in the ass to spar. I bet he's exhausting. Can you imagine?
Well, everybody... Because a lot of the guys that he says he's friends with and stuff are guys that I know.
God, you know, it's a shame that Luke Rockhold isn't around. I would love... could you imagine a build-up between Luke Rockhold and Sean Strickland?
He would run circles around.
It would be hilarious.
Luke Rockhold. Anybody
That might be my... Look, come on. Like, the middleweight division's chaos. Like, Bisping defended his belt against Dan Henderson, who was ranked number 14 or something. They've got to bring Rockhold back for a first title defense of Strickland. It'd be brilliant. I was thinking about this earlier today, though. I was looking at like the history of the middleweight division, and it's been mad. But this has to be up there with one of the biggest upsets ever. I mean, Bisping Rockhold has to be up there. Ronda Holly Holm, Matt Serra, GSP, of course. Yeah. Here's a good question, actually. Flamboyant. Do you think it has become harder for Izzy to sell in feints since his opponents know by now that he's not a power puncher when he's the aggressor? It's a good question. Like, because that's the thing is, like, if Mike Tyson's standing in front of you and he flinches, you're going to move. Do you know? You know what I mean? It's like, but then it worked for Strickland moving forward against Adesanya.
Yeah.
Something that Nixik said, which I thought was interesting as well, and Eugene Berman said it as well at the press conference. Everything that Izzy threw, Sean countered. So
yes.
It was like every time Izzy moved, Sean was in his face, like twitching. And
he got those blinkers, those horse blinkers.
Right.
Okay, one question from I Am Woozy.
I Am Woozy.
Your thoughts about rematch, Sean versus Pereira? I don't think they'd fight anymore. I know they asked you, but yeah, because Pereira put on.
Yeah, I think he's done
like, I'm not going to go down and, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if he would if Izzy beat Strickland in a rematch. I wonder if Pereira go back down then to fight him.
Dude, speaking
dude.
Of...
Dude.
You know, it's serious when I call you dude. Oh my goodness. The story of Pereira being the worst nightmare for Izzy continues. He helped train the guy that beat Izzy after he was beat by Izzy. What?
Yep.
What? Oh my... Man.
Man.
That's crazy. Okay, William, C84. Okay, wait, you didn't answer. Well, you basically said you don't think they'd fight again.
I don't think they'd
fight again. If they fought again, you probably think Pereira would just wreck him again.
I think yes or no? if Izzy fought Pereira again,
Sean Pereira.
Yeah, no, I think Pereira would win again.
Okay. Do you think now Sean's approach to Izzy last night is a blueprint to beat Izzy going forward? Maybe do you think Izzy needs to add a couple new wrinkles to his game? By William C84.
Well, okay, so that's a good question. So I think what it's shown is because was it Izzy speaking to Megan in the build up to the fight where she asked him about a submission and he kind of gave the impression that he might, you know, try and take the fight.
Yeah,
to the floor.
Really want a submission in my record.
Like the fact that that wasn't an option for him. I don't know why he didn't. I don't know why he didn't try to take the fight to the floor. I don't know whether he would feel not confident. I know Strickland's got good takedown defense, so it's 74% or something like that. But I just feel like that kind of showed that there's a part of Izzy's game that he's either not confident in or not developing yet. And that did show a one-dimensionalness. And I think, you know, maybe Sean Strickland, the fact that he didn't grapple,
yeah,
it kind of forced Izzy into a kickboxing exchange because Izzy was being bettered by someone that he felt like he should have been able to light up and dispatch of fairly comfortably. I think Izzy came in with the expectation that he was going to be quite an easy run compared to Pereira, you know? And especially, like, you know, you look at the... like that interview that Sean Strickland did after the weigh-in, he was barely conscious. He wasn't making a lot of sense. He was like, he kept repeating about that last pound, that championship pound and stuff. Like if I was Adesanya watching that, I would have been thinking to myself, this is just getting better and better, right? This is just getting better and better. Like this guy's twitchy. He was knocked out by the guy that I've just knocked out. Like he's not particularly a power puncher, you know? Like He just looks easy to hit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like I feel like that's the trap. I certainly feel like that was the trap for Abbas. Like, because he just kept throwing and throwing. I think Izzy just needs some time out. I think he needs 6 months where he's just not thinking about a training camp because his pace has been relentless. And like, leave the belt there for a bit. Like, you've got Strickland. Let me pull up the rankings 1 second. Like, we've got a few people. You've got Strickland, you've got Duplessis, you've got Cannonier, like, Whitaker. Like, all of these fighters can... like, I mean, like, what's he called? Bo Nickel. Like, Chimaev's going to look at this thinking to himself he could be middleweight champ in the next few months. All of a sudden, the whole thing's up on its head. See, Izzy's done better under pressure against Marvin Vettori. I don't know whether it was because he fought Marvin Vettori before and he kind of had a better measure, or because Vittori's a bit more square and was level changing a bit more, so Izzy was defending takedowns and circling off. He was using that as an opportunity to get off the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, we talk about the stability ball, don't we, sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and that's the when my opponent expands, I contract. Like, when they push on that invisible space between us, they move back. But Strickland just doesn't respect that feeling. He just moves into it constantly, which never gave Izzy the time to set anything up.
Well, when I've seen Sean Strickland spar other UFC fighters that, like, nicely ranked, like high level UFC fighters, when the sparring session finishes, you could see the frustration on their face, kind of like, oh, this dude just didn't leave me alone. Like, just didn't stop. And his pace and his... it makes you a bit flustered to how you're going to respond. Mm. And he has that characteristic more than Marvin Vettori.
Yeah. Yeah, for
because
sure.
Because Strickland cares less.
Yeah.
And he's
more... he said
more,
that at the press conference.
Yeah,
he was like,
just
yeah, I'm
more
over
into,
it now.
into like a fight.
Yeah.
And not and everybody has that.
For sure.
I just think everybody approaches fighting
anarchy.
A bit... yeah, differently. Like, if we see Corey Sandhagen...
Uh-huh.
He's somebody who approaches a fight completely different to somebody like Sean Strickland.
For sure.
And, you know, I would say Sandhagen's a much better fighter, but it's just your approach and how you look at a fight. Izzy sees it completely different.
Yeah.
He draws in a lot of, like anime and characters from it. And like I said, it's kind of what he uses when he fights, not necessarily the techniques from it, but he draws a lot from that.
He likes the performance element to it as well. There was something that Strickland said in the press conference. Someone asked him if, you know, he could go back to fighting again, you know, in front of hardly any people in the Apex after that. And he's like, you know, I just like fighting. Like, I'm like, and then he referenced the fact that he fights for money because it fuels his hobby, which is training.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really interesting way of looking at it. Like you would think, like a lot of people say it the opposite way around. They say, I train because I have to be good at fighting, and I love fighting. I don't love the training part. I love the fighting part. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think Strickland does love the fighting, but I don't know as he necessarily distinguishes between when he's fighting in a world championship fight or when he's sparring his friends in the gym. Like, for him, it's all just let's.
Well, the guys in the gym he's fighting are ranked UFC fighters.
Very true, yeah. So it's, yeah.
So it's kind of, but that's something that, well, I heard over when I was at GB Top Team. It was like before I fought, and I was a bit, you know, nervous about it coming back and stuff. And then they were just like, oh, it's just like what we do in the gym every day.
Yeah.
There's no difference. You just go in there and you fight. And sometimes the buildup of the UFC and the theatrics around all of it is so much that you forget that it really just is what you do in the gym, except with like 30,000 people in the arena and lights.
Just a tiny bit different, though.
And the whole world watching it, probably going to make fun of you after. So except for that, it's basically the same as in the gym.
There's a couple of good questions here. Mental jiu-jitsu. Question. Oh, I just lost it. Where did it go? Hang on. It was about Sean's trainer asking to strike to the chest instead of the head. Mm-hmm. And why was that? And if you think back to when Anderson Silva was fighting Chris Weidman the first time, and Ray Longo was in the corner and he went, punch a hole in his fucking chest.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It's because Anderson Silva drifts away like Izzy does.
Yeah.
And if you reach for the head, usually you're going to go over the top. And there were a few times when that right hand whistled over the top.
Mm.
The time when he threw it straight down the pipe and Izzy was stuck up against the fence was just, I mean, that was when it landed perfectly. Have we got a question here?
Yes.
What does it mean to be the best striker? Is it being a master at one range, e.g. counter-striking, or is it the jack of all ranges? That's a hard question to quantify. So what is being the best striker, right? So the best striker is someone that is effective with their strikes, more effective than everybody else. That doesn't matter whether that's one jab or one left hook or one low kick or a jab and a low kick or 20 punches and 20 kicks. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how you get the job done. If you can knock a wall down with the same hammer every time, you just use the same hammer. And until someone solves that problem, like Sean Strickland's game isn't nearly as diverse as Adesanya's. He doesn't have the same kind of traps and setups, but he's not needed them because he's been able to walk people into a range where they deal with his basic weapons, which is, I mean, like let's look at it. So he threw a consistent jab, which is very similar to, and you know, there are some, and I did kind of tease a little bit about his style before the fights, of course, but the more I watch Tyson Fury, the more I realize that there is a similarity in the way that Strickland stands and Tyson Fury stands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to see Strickland do a bit of work with Tyson Fury to pick up some of that, because this, of course, like Tyson Fury's got like an educated defensive Philly shell style, but he does stand quite square and quite tall because he is a tall guy.
Yeah.
It's not a Philly show like Mayweather uses it, you know what I mean? Or James Toney, for example. But the thing about the Philly show, and the thing that people always struggled with James Toney, is that he fires his glove from his waist. So his jab comes out like, and it stings people on the chin and they don't see it coming up the center channel. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite a deceptive weapon.
Yeah.
So he's got a stinging jab. He's got a prodding jab. He's got a straight and he's got an overhand. He's got a sweeping left hook. He's got a front kick to the body and a low kick. And then anything else is very, very seldom. Mm. It's a really basic game. He doesn't even use a great deal of footwork. He walks after people. But then what it looked like with Adesanya, like he was sweating quite a lot in the first round, more than Strickland looked like he was. It looked like he was working harder. So it looks to me almost like if... like it's like time and a half moving backwards for your energy. Like, it's going to tax you a little bit more. Yeah. And because Strickland's able to just kind of walk his way into range, he would be the ideal candidate to put up against Jake Paul in a boxing match. Like, his style of boxing is what people hope Nate Diaz was going to do to him.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right?
Yeah, I like that.
I would like to see that.
That'd be cool. All right, Joseph.
Does that answer Harrington's question about being the best striker?
Yeah,
I think you need an awareness in all ranges. But that's where John Jones is so good, because he can fight so long, but he can then step into elbow range and really do damage to people that are shorter than him. Like, there is a real benefit in being able to shift through the ranges, but, like, shit, if you can just rod-tang people with jabs, hooks, and low kicks, and no one can stop you, that makes you the best striker in the world, right? Like, Kamaru Usman was knocking out strikers better than him with a jab cross. You know,
Larsenko was like, he's about to win a world championship.
Yeah,
jab cross.
Yeah, congratulations to Larsenko for being
she
the very
great.
First. She did, of course. Have we got more questions? Did
yeah,
you say?
Joseph said, "What was your fight of the night?" Nasrat. Every time. It's just because this thing keeps telling me buy your own super chat when I'm trying to click on it.
Buy your own super chat, then.
I could just ask you. Why would I buy? Nasrat versus Landon. Delivered.
Oh, yeah, that was a very, very good fight. That was a really good fight. The McDessie fight was good as well. And the Manel Cap fight, although there was some choice language in a couple of the post-fight interviews. Yes, Quiñones, Landon Quiñones, hell of a fight. Outlanded everybody else on the card as well, including the main event, which is over five rounds. 171 strikes for Nasrat. Is that what you say? Is that what you say?
Nasrat, yeah. You just put it together.
It's much shorter, yeah.
Listen, I'm just...
So that does that make Mark Hunt Munt? That's not good. That's not good.
No, he's just Mark Hunt. It's short
that
already.
That makes me Dardy. That's not good.
Dardy.
Makes you Varadi. That's not good either.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Hak Paras threw 171 strikes compared to Quiñones' 148. And the person that came next closest was Sean Strickland with 137. That's a hell of an output. Mm. That's really good. Did they get a bonus?
No.
Oh, Manel Cap did.
Yes. Which was...
To
that...
pay his fine for ESPN.
Did you ever make that thing? With the fighters of...
No, I didn't. I bet, Jamie, you could pull pictures up, could you? It was just a... Because we talk sometimes about, you know, a fighter being a combination of two other fighters. Like, if X and... Oh, hang on a minute. Jamie straight away was like... Oh, like, who... Go on, who?
The guy who fought... what was his name? Go on.
What does he look like?
It's a different guy, I'm sure it is.
It was Justin Gaethje and Jeremy Stephens.
This is a different one. So Justin Gaethje and Jeremy Stephens. Was it the guy that had the swelling over his eye? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Charles Radke. Yeah. Rad. Yeah, I know what you mean. The guy that beat Blood Diamond.
Yeah.
So he was what? Justin Gaethje and...
Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah, I can see that. No, my one was Chepe Mariscal. Was a mix of Nick Diaz, when Nick Diaz returned to action against Robbie Lawler, and Rafael Dos Anjos. He was Rafael Dos Diaz. He looks like both of them. the kid with the red stripe, the Mark Jacasey stripe through his hair. Yeah, he was RDA yeah. Nick Diaz all day. That was mad. MMA Babies. It's got to be a whole series.
MMA Babies. Okay. Justin Taffa, you were right on this one. I was wrong. How did the fight start with an eye poke?
Oh, man, I know. It was pretty bad as well, wasn't it?
I know.
It was pretty bad. Go on. Thank you, Joseph, by the way, for the fight of the night question. It certainly did deliver. Did they not get the bonus then? That's a shame.
No.
Surely they would have
okay,
gotten something.
This is something of my personal opinion. Sean Strickland getting the bonus, awesome.
Awesome.
I don't think he didn't deserve the bonus. I just think you should give it to somebody who's on a 10-10 fight purse instead of probably Sean Strickland, who's making a lot of money for being in the, you know, it's kind of like when Conor McGregor gets a 50K bonus.
Yeah.
The fighters over there paying like 30% in tax and 50% to their camp. All their other friends now showed up and their family members and, you know.
And McGregor's going to buy like like two bottles of champagne with that 50K and spill most of it on the floor of the Black Forge.
Yeah, that was a little bit, like, for example, I thought, Nasrat.
What's the bet in McGregor versus comes London. Back at middleweight and fights Strickland? Can you imagine? Who knows what's going to happen these days? Who knows?
If McGregor
even the
fights
UFC
Sean
website,
Strickland.
Can you imagine? Even the UFC website has not accepted the change yet because it's still got Adesanya listed as the champion.
Did you see the thing with Usman's arm? With the belt.
Oh, what about the arm dislocation?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, DC didn't even want to respond. He was like, no, I ain't going to watch.
He was like, talk me through it. I'm not going to look at it. That was hilarious. That was
I just
bad.
Saw him like laying down, not moving. And I was a bit confused. And I'm like, his arm looks weird.
And then the guy knelt on it like, ugh. Bad.
Yeah, disgusting. Bad. I hate seeing stuff like that. Disgusting. Especially because I know the recovery he's going to have is horrendous. Horrendous. And he was doing so good in the fight. What about Gabriel Miranda getting that rear naked choke in under a minute after Shane Young missed weight by like 20 pounds?
Yeah, yeah.
In his, you know.
Yeah, he did bleach his hair like Charles Oliveira though, so I would have hoped that he was going to be able to wriggle out of that back take.
He didn't have to travel much
Talking
to make
of Charles
weight.
Oliveira...
Yeah, Mini Charles.
Mini Charles. We have to keep an eye on this kid. He's
a
lot of fun.
He looked way better than in his previous fights, and he already looked good in his previous fights. Uh-huh.
What weight's Adrian? What weight is Yanez? Mini Masvidal.
35.
Oh, is he? That's a shame. I'd love to get a mini Oliveira against a mini Masvidal. Could we do a UFC lookalikes? Can you imagine that? Do a whole card of fighters that look like other fighters.
So Nasrat would be Kevin Gastelum.
In fact, you could just have...
You can have that referee, the one that's Mark Goddard, the mini one. And he'd be reffing the fight. What's his name?
Yeah. Oh, Kevin McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
As Mark Goddard.
That would be funny.
Nasrat as Kevin Gastelum.
Yeah.
Yanez is mini.
That's a good shout. There you go. Yep, there you go. Hack Perest as Kelvin Gastelum. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably build half a card with McGregor lookalikes. I mean, like, I one a weekend comes up on my Instagram now as someone.
Like, I see that sometimes
lands
in a gym.
Billy Strutt.
Oh, the best is when I was in California, there was the UFC gym, right? Which is. It's just a regular gym, and they have some punching bag and stuff. And there was a lot of McGregor looks alike over there, hitting a punching bag.
Yeah. Question from Flamboyant. You're doing a terrible job.
I'm doing a terrible job. I'm just kind of... Well, because I was trying to think of, you know, other people who look like other people.
Okay. You agree Izzy benefited from his unique striking style and experience when he entered the UFC, but not his success, but his... Success kept him from developing a B game. Most champs in other divisions have a viable B game. Yeah, I agree with that. Like he has to be working his grappling, but does he love it? Like I would say at this point that Pereira's had time to catch up with Izzy's grappling. Yeah, I might be underestimating him because I underestimated Strickland, and that is kind of my thing. I am the underestimator.
Well, this guy.
This guy.
Mino Pokin.
Excuse me?
I don't know. That's
as long as
names
it didn't hurt.
Are weird. Did Strickland.
Yeah, there you go.
Snake Charm. What?
Sorry, I'm jumping in. Aspinall, Frank Mir. There's another lookalike. Good one. Nice
yes.
one.
Yes.
Tom Aspinall, Frank Mir.
Okay.
Course.
Did Strickland snake charm the snake charmer with his twitchiness V/Dan?
Yeah. For sure he did. He did. It was a different kind of snake charming though, wasn't it? Because like you can kind of get caught up in what Izzy does. Like Paulo Costa got caught up in it. Costa must have been watching that, thinking to himself, if I had just bit down my mouth guard and just walked forward for like 3 minutes, Like, that's kind of what it was. It was about 3.5 minutes till Strickland kind of started putting himself into range to, like, land some meaningful right hands.
Were you surprised that Izzy didn't just go, like, all right, let's go then?
But that's the thing. Like, we talked about this. That's the bit, one of the bits of his striking game that maybe he's missing a little bit. Because whenever he's throwing hooks, he always leans out of range.
Yeah, though.
The little,
like, because you see, like, the shoulder comes and then the pizzazz,
yeah,
with the hook.
It's
a thing of beauty. I'd have a poster of myself doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who do you think put Felipe Dos Santos in there with next? A top 15 flyweight or too early? I can see.
Oh, Sumu Dergi would be a good matchup.
Thank you.
Atreyu the Bastard.
I'm not going to say that.
That is Sumu Dergi would be a good matchup. That would be a banger, wouldn't it? Let's have a quick look. What do you do? Because Manel Capp's ranked, what, 10?
Yes.
So Felipe Dos Santos, he's still early in his career. What is he, 7 fights, 8 fights in?
Well, 8 fights now. But he's like 21, okay. Isn't he? 21, 22?
So who's right on the edge of that division?
22. Just turned 22?
Just turned 22. The world is his lobster.
Oh, no. He's going to turn 23 tomorrow.
Yeah, see, Sumu Dergi's at number 12. Ooh, you got Tagiru Lambekov. Cody Durden's down there at number 15. Mokaev. Mokaev's got a matchup coming up soon. I saw that pop up. Tim Elliott, that's a good fight.
Yeah, that would be good, Tim Elliott.
That's a good fight, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I'm interested to see with Manel Capp and Kai Kara France. They're both very fiery. I think that's going to be a really good scrap. Mm. This kid needs a bit of... I think Sumu Dergi would be a good shout, but then again, he's ranked number 12 in the division. Like, you don't get... If he beats Sumu Dergi, then you don't give him that time to develop, and he might need it. Like, maybe he needs 2 more fights against someone that's not ranked. Because coming in against Manel Capp was a big ask, and he did rise to the occasion, but you don't want him to keep taking that kind of damage, because he did take a few punches. Like, Manel Capp didn't have much of a mark on his face, did he? Did he get cut in the last round?
Yeah, I think
so. I feel like he got cut in the last round.
He did get clipped, like, a few times. It just seemed...
He's a young kid, and he still needs time to develop. And Manel Capp was a big step forward, I would say.
Yeah, Manel Capp had more of, like, a man body in comparison. Not fight-related, but who is your favorite Stoic Dan?
That is not a question I have an answer for you, I'm afraid. I am not quick fire on my Stoic philosophy.
What?
Stoic philosophy. Stoicism. Stoicism. Mm. I'm still very shallow in my journey in philosophy. But I will keep that in mind, and I'll get into some Stoicism. I actually have a book on the shelf in there.
You have a book on everything.
I do. I need time to read them, though, don't I? And there isn't much. Harrington, who is your favourite Stoic philosopher? How about you put that in the comments and I will do some reading. Okay. What else do you want to talk about? What do you think of Paul Felder entering the USADA testing pool? Marcus Aurelius, there you go, that's a good one. I'm always excited to see Paul Felder fight. I don't know what his motivation is. I don't know whether he's just he just needs something to focus on, but I mean, when we saw him, he was in incredible shape, wasn't he? And since he's got into his Iron Man stuff,
well, what was interesting is when we saw him in London, he was with his coach for all the cardio exercise, and he was saying how much MMA is lacking in that department and how it's a low hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he has like theories to test.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe
because. Why else would you come back?
I mean, the thing is, you know, sitting on the outside watching and paying attention, I bet his mind is developing, especially because he's now not putting himself in amongst everything. You know what I mean? He's not considering himself as an active fighter. He hasn't done for a while. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I think there might be a benefit in him having sat on the outside and detached himself from it.
Yeah.
Instead of being sitting on the outside and still being kind of... Like, that's where Dominic Cruz has always been.
I was thinking of that.
Because he's always kind of... Like, Bisping, for me now, he's improving as a commentator now because he's removing himself from a lot of the thinking. And it takes a while to do it. You kind of keep going... Like, I bet Bisping for a minute was thinking to himself, you know? I could jump back in there and have
he's
a go.
A, He's like a lookalike of Sean Strickland. Or Sean Strickland.
That would be a hell of a fight of ages, like a middleweight fight of all ages, Strickland against Bisping.
Yeah.
Like Bisping prime Bisping against this current version of Strickland would be
the
fascinating.
The American Bisping.
That'd be fascinating.
Okay. Oh, Carlos Ulberg.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Getting a submission after the fight. You know, the fight played out.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
And then Mark
it?
Goddard, I'm pretty sure, was yelling in the background because they keep saying, well, Mark Goddard is walking around. And I know how Mark Goddard gets. So, yeah. What did you think of that? Because it was a tap and then...
Yeah, difficult to see though. I mean, he was squeezed up against the fence. You've got to try and see what's going on, and you really want to be at the head end of the choke. You know what I mean? Like to take the time to run around the other side and see what was between Ulberg's shoulder and the fence to see if there was a tap was probably not. It wouldn't have been a good use of Herb's time. I don't think. I think he was in the right spot. Sometimes you're just not going to see these things. You know what I mean? It's not like he tapped on him. It's not like anybody else saw it until the replay was shown.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you're sitting there in the truck, you've got, what, 7, 8 angles that
no,
you
of course.
Look at and go, oh, hang on a minute. Like, it's just one of those things. It's good that we caught it and it goes down as a submission, but, like, you know, the referees aren't going to catch those kind of things all the time. And I thought Ulberg looked really good. I thought he looked really good. I thought Malarkey had a great fight as well. For as much of a handful as McDessie is, I thought Malarkey had a really strong performance. Quick, good jabs, good low kicks, in and out of range.
Yeah, he looked good, you know, but he just started to look not as good as the fight went on.
Yeah.
Or like McDessie got more in, not that he looked not as good later on, but McDessie got more into the fight as the fight went on.
Mm.
As the fight started, I'm like, Malarkey's just going to run him over.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, this might be actually close.
Yeah. Tyson Pedro, back on the winning track.
Yes.
With a beautiful straight punch right down the pipe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
With Turkow standing a bit too high. He's just, yeah, he's an odd one, Turkow.
It was a bit odd before the fight started, how he was like pretending to shake. And the issue is that you pointed out his topology picture. So as he was doing that, I was just replacing his face with a topology version. And yeah, it just kind of made me laugh. Who else haven't we talked about?
I'm excited for Canelo coming up against Charlo. It's completely off topic. But the Countdown show came out and it was really, really good to
watch.
Yeah,
we watched it last night.
Yeah.
It's cool that we're getting to see more of, well, I don't know if there was more available before, but like a playfulness of Canelo.
Well, now, for sure. They showed that a bit more. He was definitely more, and now he can speak much better English as well. He's coming across as his true self a bit better because he's not coming through a translator.
Hmm. Silk shirts. That's my goal in life. Just to wear silk pajamas.
When you're in that kind of condition, he's like lean and shredded and in good condition, and then he puts one of them silk shirts on. I bet he feels like however many million dollars he's worth. You have to be in good shape to wear one of those.
Yeah. It was funny in the... Because they were both in private jets, right? And then you said his opponent looked like he needed...
That was the first time Charlo had been on a private jet. He's like taking photos with the pilots and like he didn't even realize there was a double bed in the room in the back. He's like sleeping on the sofa in the main room and stuff. Like, I did feel bad for him, but I'm glad... I mean, I know he's got some money, but... I don't know. This just seems like it's a massive step up for him, given the fact that he's fighting Canelo. It's going to be a massive fight. It's going to be a massive fight.
But I don't know. Sean Strickland is a champion. Anything can happen.
A trail of the bastard. You're very correct. I feel like Taito Avassa does need to take some time off. It wears you down. Like, can you imagine? You've got to admire Demetrius Johnson. You've got to admire how long he was at the top and how many training camps he went through, and you know what I mean? Like, it might not have seemed as important to us because he wasn't one of the biggest stars in the sport, because people didn't pay as much attention to him as, say, they would with an Adesanya or something, but that didn't mean it wasn't everything for him. Every training camp he was going through must have been exhausting, you know, and then to take that jump over into ONE Championship and...
Well, that's usually the thing. Like, when you have a fight coming up, that's just all you think about all the time. Everything's revolved around that. And then, you know, the fight week is all stressful, and then you go out and you fight and stuff, and you win, and it's just like, yeah. And, you know, people say congratulations for about a week, if that, and then they go, so what's next?
Yeah.
So when are you fighting again?
Funnily enough, Super Penny Low is just asked when your next fight is.
It's not that I don't want. I have asked a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm currently just waiting to see when I'm going to have a fight. I'm hoping November. November.
Apparently Seattle Ryan says life is glitching. Apparently the big bottle appeared on the table for him out of nowhere. There must be something wrong with his stream. We need to get Jules on this live stream at some point. We didn't bring the crystal skulls in, did we?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh no, that's the big one. I mean the new ones.
This is really cool.
Yeah, we got some new crystal skulls the other day from my friend Jules. Jules Crystals. She's brilliant.
Oh, she does a
okie dokie. She's so very Scottish. I was just thinking, someone said hit like for the live stream. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say
that. If you do give us a quick like.
I'm going to give you a like.
Hang on a minute. Okay, WilliamC84. Here's something to think about. Francis gets his payday. Jones beats Stipe in the UFC, throws humongous amounts of money at that potential fight. Thoughts? Look, like, I would love to see that fight. And I think, honestly, the only thing getting in the way of it is... The UFC are not going to want to co-promote with anybody. Like, they're going to want Ngannou on their books. They're going to want to have control of it, because if Ngannou wins, they're going to want him in contract so they can bring him out again as the heavyweight champ. There's just no value in a promotion going, here's our heavyweight champion, let's test him against your heavyweight champion. Because the UFC is the global leader right now, you know what I mean? They're the biggest promotion in the world. It makes no sense. Just like it would make no sense taking Jon Jones and putting him in a fight with Tyson Fury. That's why they didn't want to let Ngannou do it. Because most likely what's going to happen is Ngannou's going to get beaten up and everyone's going to go, see, the boxing heavyweight champ's better than the UFC heavyweight champ. Like, we were at the press conference the other day. How many times did they refer to it as MMA? It was always UFC. The sport was UFC. Yeah. You know,
people didn't know it as MMA.
No, it was like
that's the joke, you know, of his, I fight UFC.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is like, I don't know. It's just an unnecessary risk. The UFC wouldn't do it. I feel like they learned that lesson taking Chuck Liddell over to Pride and putting him in there against Rampage, because he got ruined, and it was just not. It's there's no point. There's no need. Like, they want to make sure that they've got A and B side of every fight. So no matter, even like, imagine if Sean, they would have never put Sean Strickland in that fight if it was the last fight on his contract. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the fact that Ngannou fought out his contract as the heavyweight champ was because he had the belt, and they tried to do everything to get him into a contract. It just, as much as I would love to see it, the UFC would have to be open to a co-promotion, because Ngannou would demand it.
Yeah, and let me tell you, his manager, Markel, smart dude. He's a smart dude.
Okay. One more questions. PFN in Paris at the end of the month. Yes, Amy Kelly. Good shout out. That is going to be a hell of a card. I am very much looking forward to it. We've got Dumbay on the card. We've got Lazy King on the card. We've got the light heavyweight championships, the lightweights, the bantamweights, the women's flyweights. Yujit Shushane taking on Luigi Vendramini. It's going to be a good fight. Chanel Dyer making her PFL debut. Lots to look forward to. Any more questions? Is PFL buying Bellator? It sounds like there's something going on, doesn't it? What we could do with is someone that works for the PFL here on the live stream to let you know. But it's the weekend. It's Sunday. I'm not working.
I was going to say, don't you?
I'm not at work. I'm just a fan. Is Kamaru Islam the GOAT? If you can make a fighter out of those two.
Kamaru Islam. That's not who I would do. I would make.
Would you not? You wouldn't take Kamaru Usman and Islam Makhachev and combine them into one ultimate elite fighter?
No. Nah, I would take Oliveira, I take Volkanovski and Yair together.
Oh, hang on a minute. You didn't... All of a sudden it turned into a threesome. Like, We're talking MMA babies. It's one-on-one here. You can't combine three people to make one person. That's cheating.
Do you know the world we live in nowadays?
I'm going to take Sean Strickland, and I'm going to take Sean O'Connell, and I'm going to put all three of them together, and it'll be an awesome... It'll be Elite Sean. That's what it will be called.
Elite Sean.
Sean Elite.
All right.
It's a mad world. It's a mad world. Have we got any more questions? We'll wrap it up soon because it's getting late on a Sunday. And we've got a war room for him tonight, haven't we, Jamie?
Yeah, I watched it on the back because
I have access. You? Yeah. Oh, private screening.
It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Harrison likes the way that you think. You don't want to know how she thinks. She's lunatic.
She's lunatic. We're married.
Nobody's Jack made money last night. Good for you making money, Jack.
Did you bet the £10 I told you to just in case?
Just in case.
I said just in case.
The just in case £10 bet. Aston Lothar. How does a rematch between Strickland and Usman play out at middleweight? I feel that Usman finding... I would love to see Usman move up to middleweight. I feel like it would make a lot of sense for him, given the fact that... I mean, what is he now? 35?
Yeah.
It's just that's... I mean, he's so heavily muscled. I don't know how much he cuts, but it must be a decent amount. And he must be coming down at the start of training camp from a fairly lean sort of 200 pounds.
Dude, I've never seen him without abs.
UFC 210. I'm going to watch that fight again. It's been a while since I watched it. But that was back when Kamaru Usman was giving you 30%, wasn't it? That was when he was giving you 30%. That's all you need. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, but Sean Strickland used to cut massive amounts of weight. Like, unhealthy, looked horrible on the scales for 170.
That'd be a good fight, actually, to see Usman go up to middleweight. He might do it now, as he's not the champ.
Mm.
Why not? Oh, just blew the whole thing wide open. The whole thing. Chaos. Thank you, Aston, for the question. Any more questions?
Should I ask the one of the divine heir?
Excuse me?
Divine heir?
Why is nobody talking about how Izzy hid behind his coach at the presser? I don't know if he hid behind him. I mean, like, the thing is, right, okay, so all the way leading up to fight week, he's going, I feel great. I'm in Australia. I'm going to have the home crowd support. You know, I've got Sean Strickland. He's not nearly as challenging as most of the people that I beat. He's not particularly a power puncher. He looked terrible after his weight cut in the interview, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there are lots of reasons why Izzy could walk into that fight thinking, this is going to be a walk in the park, right? But then, we don't know how his training camp was. We don't, like, I can imagine him to be not nearly as motivated to train as hard as he would if he was fighting Alex Pereira again. Even if he was rematching Pereira after just knocking him out, he would train like a demon, way more. Even if it was just a subconscious thing, he would train harder for Pereira than he would do for Strickland. Like, I think now he would go back and he would give Strickland the respect in training camp. And I'm not saying it was a conscious, yeah, Strickland, I'm going to walk through him. I'm not saying that at all. Don't think that I'm saying that Izzy was kind of openly disregarding Strickland. What I'm saying is that I feel like subconsciously he's not going to have the same kind of internal response when he knows that he's going to be standing across the cage from Pereira.
Yeah.
So when he wakes up every day and he thinks, oh shit, I'm fighting Pereira next, he doesn't get that same kind of oh shit feeling. Does that make sense?
No, for sure.
So I feel like he might not have been quite as finely tuned. I don't need to see any, like someone just said, no rematch. I don't need to see a rematch. I don't need to see one, not right now. I think there's enough people in the middleweight division. Adesanya's been up in and around the top for long enough that we could open it up. And there are people in this division that are on the rise or that have been in play that could potentially get their hands on the belt or recover the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like Whittaker, again, I would love to see that fight. You know, it's... let me just have a look who's there's anybody, any rematches on Strickland's record that I'd like to see. I mean, Hermanson, he's got a split decision win over Hermanson. That was before he lost to Pereira. Nah. I want to see him fight Duplessis and...
Yeah, I want Duplessis.
I won't mind a Cannonier rematch.
Well, he was in as the alternate for the weight.
Yeah.
Which I thought, I was Jerry Cannonier, I'm like, why am I the alternate for the guy that I suppose, you know, that I beat for the belt? But he did have a chance already. So I'm pretty glad that Strickland got his shot. It brings a lot of excitement to the sport for that to happen. It's amazing.
I was laughing my ass off all the way through that last round. It felt almost comparable to watching Nate Diaz turn it around on Conor. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God. And then when Strickland realized in that last 30 seconds he was walking on. Oh, it was brilliant. Ben says, when are we getting another Dark Room or V's Kitchen episode? I get an episode of V's Kitchen every day.
I was
going to
say.
Do you not see? I've got like 30 pounds to lose. Another Dark Room. What would you want a Dark Room of? We could do a Dark Room on Strickland's defense.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
He has won a new fan. I am a fan of Sean Strickland now. I am fully on the bandwagon. Not because I think he's the most finesseful and technical fighter around, because I don't change any of my opinions that I held before the fight. But what I do feel like is Strickland has the intensity and determination. And he just brings an anarchy to the UFC, which I love.
Yeah.
I love. He's the anti-hero. He's turned it on its head. It's awesome. I love it. It's hilarious. Oh, what else have we got to talk about? Anything? Should we call it there?
Yeah, I think we should.
We've got 45 minutes before War Room starts. So you can... Ooh, a Dark Room on Sean Strickland's defense. There we go. I told you that'd be a good idea.
Amazing defense. Amazing. You didn't say amazing. His name is Deshaun now.
Yeah, I don't... Sometimes the inside MMA jokes make no sense to me. Hang on, is this a thinker? Is this a question?
Yeah, he's asked that a few times. I've seen
about is he developing his grappling game?
Yes,
I would love him to develop his grappling game. Just so he had the option of taking it elsewhere if he really needed to. You know. Oh, did we see Vadum fighting Bare Knuckle? I didn't see the whole fight. I did see the highlights. JDS looked good. He looked sharp. He looked like those 4 ounce gloves have been weighing his hands down for ages. He looked so quick, and Vadum was a mess.
Yeah.
We've already got a bunch of Vadum's blood on the wall in the other room. I'm here for the sponsor, which is it today? Outlaw Rum. It's right there on the table. Look at that. Beautiful, delicious. Next to the gods. I've just had some of this sherry cask, this little sample that Jim sent me, and it has made me sweat. Like, I mean, not that I wasn't sweating originally, but it was like...
Dude, it's so cool up there, because we went to the distillery, is that how you say?
Yeah, that little
in
little
Scotland. Super cool. And he has a bunch of casks that are from different things that he uses, like the Pinot Noir and just, yeah, his knowledge on rum is sensational.
Yeah, he's a bit of a wizard. Okay. Yeah, Yuri V. Strickland would be chaos.
Yeah, but they're not the same weight class, are they?
I know, but who knows what's going? Who knows what's going on these days? Anything can happen. Come on, Strickland v. Jake Paul, though.
That's a good one.
I'd like to see that.
That's a good one. I'd be down for that.
I'd like to see that.
Who do you... Okay, early predictions, if that happens. I know, I read it. I didn't want to mention
the fact that... No, we could talk about it. Is your Aftermath logo dripping with jizz? The fact that that is the first thing that came to your mind... is worrying. I've never looked at it in the whole time of us doing Aftermath. I've never looked at it and thought, oh, look at that, there's spunk all over it. It still don't look like that to me now. It's still, if I licked that, I would imagine it'd be like sweet, like melted white chocolate.
Try, lick it.
No, because that'd be inappropriate in front of everybody.
Oh, I got a hoodie of Kiss.
Oh, you did get a Kiss. Yeah. Okay, are we talking about anything else? Are we stopping there?
No, I think we should stop at the realization of what somebody thinks
Yeah.
that looks like.
after Spaff.
Oh my goodness.
Look, we'll just change it. It's fine.
Stop watching Sean Strickland.
What? Spunkermass. Noodles of noodles. No, I prefer mine. I prefer mine.
Old horror films.
Goosebumps. That's what someone keeps saying here. Yeah. Goosebumps, yeah.
Like Hammer Horror.
There we go. Maybe we should switch it up for like the... I got a Misfits t-shirt as well, didn't I? Maybe we should switch it up for the Misfits font. We should switch it. We did have a different one, but I don't know where it's gone. I like this one.
Okay.
I'm just reading this stream. There's just loads and loads of...
Yeah,
that's inappropriate, guys. That is inappropriate, guys.
But we're not the one that brought it up.
Any new figurines? I have got a couple. Do you want to see some
toys?
Dude,
yeah, get your helmet.
Pass me the figures first. Pass me the... No, not that one. Those, not that one. Those, yeah, those. Those.
Who
there's three
are you talking
there, right?
to? Me and
to
Jamie
you.
Are both...
Oh, look at you, just throwing them on the floor. A card can't be bent. The card's not bent. Look, we got Bruce Lee.
I got Bruce Lee.
Oh, okay, Veronica got Bruce Lee. Of course we got Bruce Lee.
We got Luke Skywalker. I don't like Luke Skywalker.
You don't like Luke Skywalker.
I don't. I really don't like Luke Skywalker. I don't like Yoda either. Why don't you just tell me what you mean? Tell me.
Because he's wise and you've got to figure it out.
Why are
you
wise? Why are you wise?
You got to work for it.
What kind of teacher slash coach doesn't just tell you? Just tell me. What is it that I need to do? I have to sit down and figure out what you're saying. Ridiculous.
What is her monthly subscription fee on OnlyFans?
I would punch you in the mouth if you were here. Talk to me like that. I would punch you in the mouth.
Punch you in the mouth. She's serious.
Yeah, I'm serious. Crack this skull on your skull.
What's Oscar Buglas? Dan, you'd think Dan is a USC and Dana hater, but he honestly still... Yeah, of course I'm a fanboy. Come on. It's like, you can't cling on to these things for so long. It's like the UFC's a lot of fun. I'm a big fan. Love these fights. Love these events. Paris was awesome. That show was awesome. The fans were great. It's nice to be able to just kind of sit back and be a fan of it and just kind of enjoy this and then have another job within MMA. I am living life right now. Yeah.
Get your helmet.
Don't have to deal with the nonsense anymore. All right, okay.
All right, but get out of shot and then put it on and then come back and shot.
I'm not, no.
Okay.
I'm not. I'll show people. I'll show
okay,
people
can I
now.
Put it on?
And you can put it on if you want. Look at this. This is incredible. This is by a friend of the show, Steve.
I think this is covering it.
Is it covering it?
I don't know.
I mean, look at that. So what you can see is my mouth guard has been painted on the side, and the number of finishes I have over opponents is on the side of the helmet. It is just so cool. You've probably seen the Raphael in the other room that's sitting on the shelf in the gym, and we've got the Space Marines either side of this that Steve's painted for us. I mean, I am you as you can see from this room, I'm a super nerd. You're putting it on. I'm a super nerd, and I love this kind of stuff. In fact, Jamie, I'll tell you what I've got here, which I've never shown on the podcast, is the...
This is the way.
This is the way.
Directory not found. Low battery.
Oh, low battery. Damn it, I need to plug it in.
Oh, you messed it up.
Oh, I need to plug it in.
I can't believe
Jamie
it.
Jamie got me a lightsaber. I need to plug it in there. Love the helmet, right? Look at that.
This looks like we get up to crazy stuff.
Of course we do. We have a lot of fun. Look at that. That's amazing. That's amazing.
He's making
much,
me
Steve.
One.
Of course he is. You're going to walk out with it in your next fight. No, you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to have personality.
Tyson Pedro had his hat on. That was good. It's nice to see. How cool is that? I mean, it's just... Is there space on the front of the table for it? Look at that.
I feel like this went from Aftermath to look at all my toys.
That's a whole other show. We can't even begin to start. That's a whole other show. Okay, all right, let's call it there. We're 25 past nine now. So you've got about 35 minutes before War Room starts for Shevchenko against Grasso. We recorded that a couple of days ago. So that is ready and uploaded on the back end of the channel. That will be live in 35 minutes. So go make yourself a hot drink or grab yourself an Outlaw Rum, and thanks for joining us. Hit like and subscribe if you're not a subscriber already. Thanks for joining us on the Aftermath, After Spaff, first time.
Okay, William, no need to mention that my hair is frizzy. I did go out in the run, in the rain. He didn't even wait. It's England. It rains and then it stops. No, he's like, no, let's go in the rain. So we had to run in the rain, come back, do a hard session. And then he tells me, oh, by the way, can you come on the aftermath? I wasn't prepared
to
get my hair ready for this. Okay.
William.
Why you have to bring that up, man?
I'm in so much trouble now. You have no idea. You have no idea.
Leave me alone.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. Thank you to Outlaw Rum. Happy Rum Sunday to all of you. Thank you, Veronica. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you to all the fighters. Thank you to Sean Strickland. And we'll see you next time.